Thanks, Andrew. I wanted to share a little bit on a couple of parables today. Let's start in Matthew 13. In Matthew 13, Jesus is going and talking through a lot of parables there, talking about the kingdom of heaven. And in the parables, he talks about external aspects of the kingdom of heaven and internal aspects. In the parable of the sower and the seed, he talks about the seed and the word of, which is the word of God and its impact on our hearts, and how the soil is if the soil is good, the seed will bring forth, and with that soil it's mixed with faith and perseverance. Then he also talks about tares and wheat and a sower and tares and wheat in a field. And in that case, the parable is not internal, it's actually kind of talking external, because he talks about like the kingdom of God having a mixture of wheat, which is the children of God, and then the tares, which are those who are not of the children of God, and ultimately God will sort that out in the end. But it's internal and external. And then he goes on to tell two parables about a mustard seed and about leaven. And those are the two that were on my mind. And I shared that preamble just because he explains the first two. He explains the parable of the sower, and he also explains the parable of the wheat and the tares. But the mustard seed and the leaven, he doesn't actually explain those two. So we're left to have the Holy Spirit kind of help us. And so you may have heard different interpretations of what I'm going to share today, but I think the principles that I'm going to share are grounded elsewhere in the Word, so we can rely on those, even if we've heard different interpretations of these parables. But if we start in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, it says, "He presented another parable to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air can come and nest in its branches.'" So the principle, or what I was looking at here, is what Jesus calls out about the kingdom of God here is that it starts with a seed. And it's in particular, it starts with a very small seed. Jesus says that this mustard seed is the smallest of the seeds in the garden. And I don't want to get hung up on whether there's actually smaller seeds or what this, like, we can just look at what Jesus said. He was calling out it was small. That part we can say very clearly. He said it is a small seed. And what's going to happen? It's going to start small, but it's going to become something that actually is significant in that garden. It's going to start as a little speck, but it'll actually become a tree that is so big that birds can come and nest in its branches. And it's actually, I think he's calling out, it's larger than the other plants. So it starts small, but becomes larger than the other plants. I'm going to come back to that. But then if we read the next parable, he says he spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of flour until it all became leavened. And so those who know about baking, I'm by no means an expert, despite the fact I work for a bakery. I'm an accountant, and I don't know much about the baking, and Maddie knows a lot more about it than me. But I do know the principle here, that is if you're making bread, and two of the key ingredients are leaven, which is yeast, and flour, and there's some other ingredients in there, but if you put them in piles beside each other, when you started, the flour would be significant. The flour, especially if you're making like multiple loaves, maybe you're making 10 loaves of bread, you're gonna have a pretty big pile of flour, but you're gonna have a small little bit of leaven. The leaven is a little tiny bit, and sometimes maybe, I don't know what the exact ratio is, maybe it's a teaspoon or even less. But the key is that when the leaven goes into the flour, the properties of those two ingredients, and you start mixing it, the leaven doesn't stay as a clump. It actually mixes and goes all the way through the flour. It completely integrates with the flour ingredient. And if you're going to make a successful loaf of bread, that has to happen. You can't just, if you were to make bread and just had all the other dough prepared and just drop the leaven in at the end and it just stayed a little clump in the middle, your bread's not going to rise. It's not going to work out. But if you do it properly, the leaven will go out and affect and sort of become part of all of the mixture and will actually allow the bread to rise and do what it's supposed to do. And Jesus calls it out. The critical example, again, is that it's a small ingredient, but the intent is that it leavens and completely comes and becomes part. It leavens out all the flour. It completely mixes and becomes basically one or part of the whole. That big pile of flour now has leaven completely mixed into all of it. And that's critical if you're going to make bread. And it's interesting, whenever Jesus told these, or at least in the accounts that we have, in Matthew and Luke, both these parables are there. In Luke's account, the two parables are isolated. It doesn't tie, like he doesn't talk about the sower and the seed beforehand or the wheat and the tares. It's on its own. It's in a different sort of message that Jesus gave. But in Luke, as well as Matthew, he ties these two parables together. These parables are not shared separate from one another. They're shared together. So I think the Holy Spirit is trying to show us there's a lesson to be learned, and it's a similar lesson between these two parables. It's a consistent lesson that the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us. And as I was reflecting on what that lesson could be, I was reminded of the verse in Luke chapter 17, verse 6. It's a common verse, but it's another place where this mustard seed is mentioned. In Luke chapter 17, verse 6, just after the apostles, or sorry, the disciples had asked Jesus about forgiveness, Jesus was saying, listen, if somebody comes to you and has hurt you, but if they come to you and say, I'm sorry, Jesus says, you need to forgive them. And I can tell you elsewhere in this parable, it says he doesn't give the numbers on it. But elsewhere in another gospel, they ask how many times? And they're like, up to 7 times? And Jesus says, no. If somebody hurts you and comes to you and asks for forgiveness, you need to forgive them up to 70 times 7. So 490 times. And even, I don't think there's a magic to that number. But Jesus is saying, if they come and ask for forgiveness, you need to forgive them. And in response to that, the apostle said, like, increase our faith, like, help us, God, like, that sounds impossible, that somebody could hurt me that many times, somebody could wrong me that many times, and I'm going to forgive them? Like, that seems really difficult. And Jesus' response is this, and the Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So in this scenario, Jesus is saying, even if you have a tiny little bit of faith, miraculous things can happen. Miraculous things can happen. A tree could literally be uprooted and planted in the sea. And I think what Jesus is trying to tell them is, listen, I know it seems impossible. Just the same way that it seems impossible that a tree could get uprooted and planted in a sea or elsewhere, Jesus says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, it could actually move a mountain. Again, Jesus is trying to contrast that this small bit of faith, can actually produce amazing results, dramatic change in our life, power that we don't see as possible, the power to forgive. And if we tie that back to what I just read about the mustard seed in the garden and the leaven, I was sort of thinking about this, saying the kingdom of God starts with a small amount of faith. It starts with a small amount of faith. But what it wants to do is take over our lives. Like the seed of the mustard seed that wants to take over the garden and become the dominant plant in the garden, so is the kingdom of God. It wants to start with a little bit of faith, a little bit of trusting that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that Jesus Christ came to earth as the Son of God, that Jesus Christ died on a cross for our sins. He lived a perfect life and then died on the cross for our sins. And that all of us who have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, all of us are sinners. And if we are willing to say to God, God, forgive me for my sins. I want to become your child. If we start with that mustard seed of faith, he is willing to take the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and forgive us of our sins. And the seed gets planted. That little seed gets planted in the garden, but it doesn't start there. That's the little tiny start of the seed. But if we're willing to continue to believe in him, to continue to read his word, to study his word and believe and allow it to work its way out in our life, it's going to transform us. It's going to become a tree in the garden that completely is the most significant plant in the garden, or it'll become like the leaven, which completely leavens out the loaf, or completely leavens out the flour that's there. And I was thinking about this in a sort of like what was in my heart is when we read the example of the tree getting uprooted, like if you have a mustard seed of faith, it'll uproot a tree and you can plant it in the sea. Or if you have a mustard seed of faith, it could actually move a mountain. These are what Jesus says, and they're true. But I was thinking, it almost helps to read this parable and see how it's applied. Because a tree does not grow overnight. It starts in the ground, and at first when that seed goes in the ground, you don't even see anything. Things are happening. The seed is germinating in the earth. It's opening up and starting to sprout a little bit. And eventually it comes out of the ground, but even then it's still very small. And it takes time to grow. It takes time to grow. And that was my heart about this mustard seed of faith and the way that it's going to produce what's desired in our lives, what God desires in our life, is it is going to take time. It's going to take time. And if we want to see a mountain moved, if we want to see a tree of unforgiveness uprooted in our lives, we might also want to take a heed to this parable that says it could take time. And it's interesting, if you read in the Gospel of Mark, I'm not going to turn there, but the parable of the leaven is told in the Gospel of Mark, but it isn't, there's two parables back to back, but it isn't told with the parable of the mustard seed. It actually is told of a parable of a farmer who sowed seed in a field. And it says that the seed goes into the field and it begins to grow and he doesn't even know how it happens. It's like a miracle. It's like a mystery. And we know farmers know. And I think what it's saying is like any farmer who puts seed in a field, he knows what's ultimately going to happen. He's looking for the plants to come up. He's looking for the weed or whatever the crop is to grow. But what the parable is saying is it isn't like the farmer's able to do it. He does his part. He puts the seed in the field. But then it's not up to him to have that seed sprout. God has made it that seed is going to sprout and grow. If it gets water, if it gets sunlight, if it gets some nutrients, it is going to sprout and grow. And that farmer can't do that part. He has to put the seed in the field, but ultimately it's God who's going to cause the plant to grow. God's made it that way. And I think it's the same way in our own lives that we have a responsibility to have this mustard seed of faith, to take it, to see it planted, to water it, to nurture it. But ultimately, it's God who's going to cause the growth in our lives. And it was when Andrew read that verse about God and going back to Hosea and the connection between faithfulness and mercy, I liked Andrew sharing about that and the connection there. But I also was thinking about, like, in this, like, part of what these parables tell me is what God is looking for is also faithfulness from us. Like, it's not what these parables tell me is that this mustard seed of faith is not a, I mean, God can do dramatic things like in a moment and people's lives can be transformed in an instant. But also I think there's an element of being faithful each and every day. Like if we want to see the kingdom of God working in our lives, if we want to see God change us, there's an element where we have to have this mustard seed of faith and it has to remain, like it has to continue each and every day. Each and every day. And I was thinking about my own life and thinking about others. And like, I think sometimes what God is looking for in our own lives is not necessarily dramatic, miraculous transformations, but rather a faithfulness week in and week out, where the leaven is working out in our lives, where the seed is growing a little bit and the change is happening. Where little by little, it starts small and God's word and His Holy Spirit are working in our lives to bring about just incremental change, little by little, and we're continuing to be faithful. We're not giving up because the massive mountain hasn't moved yet. We're rather saying, you know what, God, your word says that miraculous things can happen from a mustard seed of faith. And while I'm still waiting to maybe see some of the changes that I'm looking for happen, I'm going to continue to trust you. I'm going to continue to be faithful myself. And I believe in taking that, we actually give opportunity for God to do his part, which is the miraculous work of transformation, of bringing, uprooting mulberry trees or moving mountains. And I just think that if we reflect on how this starts, Jesus emphasizes that it's a small seed. And if we look at that seed of faith working in our lives, it starts small and it takes time. But if we're faithful, God will produce amazing results through that. So I just want to turn to Zechariah, because this is one other verse that came to mind when thinking about this. In Zechariah chapter 4, you'll have to forgive me if this is a bit of a stretch, but I was encouraged the way that this prophecy here kind of tied in, because the initial verse I was thinking about was Zechariah 4, verse 10. In Zechariah 4, verse 10, it says, "For who has despised the day of small things? But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb lined in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord which range to and fro throughout the earth." And so what this is saying, it's talking about the rebuilding of, I think it's the temple, or is it Jerusalem? Forgive me if I don't recall that exactly. Oh, the foundation of this house. So it's rebuilding of the temple. So it says here that the Spirit of God, that the eyes of God, these seven, and you can read back and get that connection, but they'll be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel, when they see the beginning of the work, when they see it starting. And man may despise this start because it seems so small. It seems like a day of small things. It seems almost insignificant what's happening here. And it could seem almost insignificant the start of our faith in Jesus Christ, which starts in asking him to forgive us and come into our life, to transform us. That little mustard seed of faith that is the start of the kingdom of God in our lives, in many cases, it can almost seem insignificant. I know there's testimonies of radical transformations, and I praise God for that. Those are awesome testimonies. But that's not everyone's testimony. In fact, I would say that's not even the majority's testimony. The majority's testimony is that the kingdom of God starts as a small mustard seed. It's a day of small things. And man may despise it. Man may say, like, what? You prayed and you asked Jesus to be Lord of your life. You seem to have some of the same problems. I don't see much of a change here. But what this verse says is man may see that. Man may see it as insignificant. But the Spirit of God, the seven eyes of God, they see it as a significant day. And they are glad to see it. They are glad to see the work of God start in somebody's life. They are glad to see it. And it says that these eyes range to and fro throughout the earth. And I'm not going to turn there, but I think most of us can recall the verse in 2 Chronicles where it says the Spirit of God is looking throughout the earth. So though I'm just going to quickly read it so I get it right. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Yeah, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." So God is looking throughout the earth to support those who have turned their heart to him, who have given their heart, whose hearts are completely his. And if we tie that here, it says that it doesn't, even at the start, even at that beginning, when that heart turns to him, the eyes of God see that. And they rejoice to see that. They're glad. The Spirit of God is glad when the work of God, when the kingdom of God is planted in our lives. Then if you go back to verse 6, this is again, it's the start of this prophecy, and it says, "Then he said to me," this is the angel talking to Zechariah, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, the one who is beginning the work on the house of God, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Also the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you." I just was encouraged. I quoted when Jesus said that with a mustard seed of faith, you can cast a mountain into the sea. And that can seem like a dramatic, miraculous event. Like if we actually saw that, it would be unbelievable. Like we would be in complete and utter awe and fear if we saw that happen. But what was in my heart is that it ties with the mustard seed and the small beginning and the daily faithfulness. And I was encouraged to think that in the mountains that I see in my life and the mountains that I may see in others' life, that what God is actually asking for, he's saying all you need is a little bit of faith to see that mountain moved. But it may not move overnight. It may, just like a tree growing up in a garden, take time. There may need to be a consistency and a perseverance, as it says in the parable of the sower. We may need to have a perseverance to actually see that mountain moved. And in many cases, God can do the miraculous, but he may just be looking for the consistent faithfulness week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. And if we're willing to say, that's my part, I'm going to continue to be faithful to you, God, we can see things as miraculous as mountains being cast into the sea. But it's going to start as a day of small beginnings. And those around us, those who don't have the eyes of the Holy Spirit, may not see it as much as all. But the Holy Spirit sees it and is glad and rejoices. And it says that the mountain in front of Zerubbabel will become a plain. It'll be flattened. And it's not by his power, not by his might, but by the Spirit of God. But you have to start. Zerubbabel had to start. He couldn't be dismayed. He couldn't be dismayed by how it seemed insignificant. Or if you read in Haggai, it talks about how the people at that time, both prophets were encouraging Zerubbabel at that time, but Haggai was saying, like, there was some who thought of Solomon's temple and all the glory it had and how great it was, and saw the new temple and saw it was almost insignificant. Like, it was just like, it seemed like nothing. But God said, no, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. The work God is going to do will have more glory than that amazing temple that Solomon built. And I think the key is the principle there is that the work God is going to do, if we see it from God's perspective, we can have a hope and believe that there is going to be a glory, that there's going to be a miraculous, awesome change when the kingdom of God is at work in our lives. But it may not be evident to those around us, at least not immediately. There has to be a faithfulness, an enduring, and a patience, and a willingness to continue and persevere. And what's more, God wants to be changing us little by little, every single day and every single week and every single month. And we have to put our hope and belief and look for that change and rejoice in that change and say, God, I know there's things you're working on, and they may not seem significant to those around us, but I know in my life what you're doing is significant, and I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to continue to persevere and allow you to do that work in my life. And in the end, the mountain can become a plain. And in the end, the tree can be uprooted and cast in the sea, but it may start as a small, insignificant thing in the eyes of man, but in the eyes of God, it is significant, and he can do great things through it. He can do great things through it if we have that mustard seed of faith, if we're willing to continue to cling to him and hope in him. and persevere, not give up in adversity, not give up when it's taking longer than we expected, not give up when God's timing is not our timing, when there's a patience required, when there's a faithfulness required. If we see things that way, I think it can kind of give us hope. It can actually produce something that God desires in our life, because he knows the plan. He sees the end from the beginning. He knows what he's doing. Just like the farmer who goes to sleep and gets up and then the crop is growing. That's his part. He knows what he's doing and bringing the change in our lives, putting his grace into our lives, giving his power in our lives. He has all of that sorted out. But we may not see it all fully or understand it all fully, but we do need to continue to believe and to continue to persevere, not give up, not lose heart in adversity, not lose heart if it's taking longer than it expects, and also rejoice in the little, like, if we see God working, like, I think if we reflect and actually look and have eyes to kind of say, God, like, I want to see and understand some of the things you're doing, like, there's so much we can be thankful for, so much we can praise God for, like, just like the Spirit of God rejoices, ask him to show us, like, God, help me to see the work you're doing, not so that my faith can rest on it, but rather so that I can rejoice in it and give thanks in it and give praise to you as the kingdom of God is working its way out in my life, just the same way the Holy Spirit sees it and is glad and rejoices. So anyways, I know there was a lot of different points there, but hopefully we can take some encouragement from that to be faithful. I think if that can be my summary, is just have that mustard seed of faith. Continue to believe and to know that God is working as we seek to obey him and follow him. He will do a work in our lives. And just like a mustard seed can grow up into a tree, it will happen. But we got to persevere. We got to be faithful and continue to follow him. And then he will bring about the work in our lives.